Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we are just so grateful for the things that you do, the work that you continue to do in our lives. Lord, I pray for this service, how we can be a blessing in your sight through all that we do here. In Jesus' name, amen. One of my favorite pastors is the Apostle Paul, the way he teaches, the things that he does. And what really comes to my mind is the event on why we should have service on the ground level in case the pastor goes over and somebody falls off the window sleeping. So I'm so glad we're on one level right here. He gets a little long-winded, and so do I some days. Plus, I'm thankful to be on ground level. This week has been an interesting week. I have prayed for opportunities for God to open up my heart for different ministries, and guess what? He answers those, and it went really well with this passage. See, I've read through Galatians, and we're going to be on Galatians 4, so just go ahead and turn there. We're not going to veer too far off. We're going to look at 12 through 20, but I've read this and read this a number of times. However, this week, it spoke differently to me. As I was working with different situations, different people, I'm going to call it different ministry opportunities that God has allowed me to go through. And I'm so thankful for the things that he does. And it's a reliance on his power. And what he does, you know, in our weakness, we get, I'm beat down, I can't go on anymore. And then the Lord says, nope, you ain't done. You can do this. And you know what? It's only through him we accomplish what we need to accomplish. We're called to be faithful to him. Obedience to him is what he wants. And he will give us the strength to go through anything that he puts in our path. We might not like the outcome sometimes, but as long as we're faithful and doing it his way is all that matters. So go ahead and go to Galatians. We're going to look at 4. We're going to look at verses 12 through 20. So last week we looked at 4 verses. It took a little while longer than normal, but we're going to go ahead and hit all of these today. So Galatians 4, 12 through 20. It says, brothers, I entreat you, become as I am, for I also have become as you are. You did me no wrong. You know it was because of a bodily ailment that I preached the gospel to you at first. And through my condition, though my condition was a trial to you, you did not scorn nor despise me, but received me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus. What then has become of your blessedness? For I testify that if possible, you would have gouged out your eyes and given them to me. Have I then become your enemy by telling you the truth? They make much of you, but for no good purpose. They want to shut you out, that they make much of them. It is always good to be made much of for a good purpose. And not only when I am present with you, my little children, for who I am again in anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. I wish I could be present with you and change my tone, for I am perplexed about you. Now, as we unpack this passage, we see Paul has changed his way of writing. Before, Paul was teaching doctrine, justification. Justification, you're justified through faith in Jesus Christ. He started his argument, I'm astonished. Remember that you have turned from the true gospel to a false gospel. And he defended what it was to be justified. How Abraham was justified through faith. He was giving the logical argument in the very beginning. He was appealing to their intelligence. He says, this is what you need, this is what is concrete right here. This is what you need to know. And that's the way it is for most normal situations. If you're debating with somebody or teaching somebody, what do? You first go to logic. not to this is what I feel, but it's logic. You have to give facts. So he starts off with logic to show how they were misguided, how they fell for this false teaching, and he had to get them back on the right track. Now Paul makes a connection with the people. He now starts to pour his heart out to these people. Paul says, I entreat you. The NASB says it better from the Greek. For it says, I beg of you, brethren. He's making a plea with the people. What he's saying is, I beg you, become as I am. He's saying, imitate me. Become as I am. He specifies this in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. He says, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. See, Paul is not afraid to say, follow me in what I do. Why? Because my eyes are on Christ and Christ alone. Follow me. If you're following me, I want you to follow Christ. Now, was Paul sinless? No. He was still man. Did Paul fall on his face sometimes? Probably. But his focus and his heart was on following Christ. I could see him getting up every day and putting on this thing, I'm going to get up, I'm going to follow Jesus no matter what's going to happen to him. That's what I'm going to do. And that's what he wanted the people to concentrate on, is getting up in the morning and following Jesus. Sometimes it doesn't happen all the time. We get up and we fall over our own shoes sometimes. Happens in our spiritual life sometimes. We get up thinking that we're going to follow Jesus, something trips us up. But it's getting back up. We take a step forward and we fall backwards sometimes. It happens. But we've got to keep pressing forward, pressing on. And that's what he's saying here. Follow me as I strive to follow Christ. Become as I am. But he had that mindset. He wants people to follow Christ just as he is following Christ. And people are going to follow Jesus in their own way because God's made us uniquely. Following that statement, Paul tells the people he has become as they are. He says, brothers, I entreat you, become as I am, for I have also become as you are. Interesting phrase. He has become like them in a sense that he has become all to all for the gospel. 1 Corinthians 9, 19 through 23 says it this way. For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews I became a Jew in order to win the Jews. To those under the law I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it for the sake of the gospel that I share, that I might share with them the blessings. He became all. He became the person he had to be to reach people. To the Jews, he followed the Jewish structure, the Jewish way of doing things. He ate like the Jews when he visited with the Jews, so he could win them over. With the Gentiles, he became like them. He was also a Roman citizen. He could go freely to the Gentiles, to the Greeks, and hang out with them, eat their food. He did all of this so he could advance the gospel. He's not under the legalistic law. He's free to do ministry, and that's what he's doing. He says he became what he had to become. He wanted to reach people without sinning, and that's what he did. When he was with the Jews, he ate as they. When he's with the Romans, he ate with them as well. See, he had to to do things at certain times and certain places differently so he can relate with the people, adapted to their culture. He did all of this without misrepresenting Christ. Paul encouraged them to be like him because he became like them in their way of living instead of living like the Jews. See, what happened was the Jews, the Judaizers came in right after Paul. And these Galatians, they fell for the false doctrine that was being taught, the works-based doctrine. And is that how Paul came in? No, these guys came in and changed them into that. They came in, heard the gospel, and then Paul left. After that, a group of false teachers came in, and they fell for that works-based salvation. They came in to change them. So Paul had to come back and recorrect the thinking. Paul abruptly changes in this text. This text, I can just see the emotion in it, how he's struggling with it. Because he abruptly changes and tells them that they did him no wrong. He began to explain that when he was with them, they showed grace to Paul. When Paul was there, he was suffering from an ailment or a weakness, it says. There was something wrong with Paul. More specifically, there was some sort of physical deformity with him that all could see. However, the people looked past that. They looked past whatever that was. When they looked past that, they received the message that Paul proclaimed. The people did not think less of him. They did not scorn him, nor despise him, but accepted him. They were gracious that he was there. The people received Paul as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus himself. Now, they did not claim him as the Messiah, but that's how they viewed him. They respected him. They respected the message. They respected what he did through the power of Christ when he went through this nation, this region. They treated Paul very well, gave him great respect. They gave him grace. So much grace that, as Paul says, they would have gladly gouged out their eyes for him. That gives us a little bit about his ailment, his eyesight. Most scholars say his eyesight was the problem, his eyes. And they were so gracious, "Here, if I could, I will give you my eyes." That's how awesome these people were. They're like, "Yes, whatever Paul needs, I'm going to do. I'm going to show grace. I'm going to show love." That's what they were like. Now, Paul doesn't understand what happened to them. They showed the love of Christ and displayed good fruits at first. And they were corrupted not long after. He says, this is why he says, "Have I then become your enemy by telling you the truth?" See, the people have turned on him and from the teachings of Christ. They have become an enemy to Paul because he taught them truth, the truth of the gospel. They're guilty of turning away from the message of Christ to following legalism. When one falls in the trap of heretical teachings, they become an enemy to the one who preaches Christ and him crucified. They strayed from the gospel message to follow Judaism. And those who teach Judaism do not like faith alone in Christ. Why? Because they feel like they've got to earn it. They have to earn their salvation. It's not just grace alone that saves. These guys are saying, you have to do this, this, and this. They don't like that. They like to earn their salvation. They don't like the simple message of Jesus. MacArthur states, many people appreciate a preacher or teacher only as long as he says what they want to hear. The confused and deflecting believers in Galatia had once greatly admired Paul, but now they look on him as their enemy because he confronted them with the truth about the genuine gospel of God, which had saved them, and the false teachings of the Judaizers, which led them back into the bondage of legalism. They strayed away from a simplistic message because they understood more of a works-based salvation. Again, when we do something, we want something. We work to get paid. You obtain something. And that's what they wanted. It's a tangible thing for us. Now, Paul is very concerned for the people. He saw how they once were and how they loved the message of Christ. Then he saw how fast they fell away from the gospel message to follow a false gospel. This hurts the heart of the pastor to see people in this state. We invest time and energy into people and hope that God works wonders in their lives, works wonders through them, hope that people seek Christ in His direction. We hope they repent of their sins and start living for Jesus. When I see people walk away from the teachings of the desire of the Bible, I desire them to go back to the time when they knew they had freedom in Christ, when they had that fire for Jesus. It's a mix of pain and anger. It takes its toll on the pastor. Yes, sometimes I really want to do the work of the Holy Spirit. I want to change your life. I want to change your heart. God says, no, Justin, you can't do that. That's my job. Your job is to present the gospel message, to teach Christ. Let God be God. Let the Holy Spirit work. Pastors feel this. I feel not only that. Bible teachers feel it. Those that disciple other people feel it. It's you invest time and energy into people, hoping that you see fruits, hoping you see a change. And sometimes you do see a change. And it's that falling away that really gets you. That really hurts. When you disciple somebody and you see fruit, you see them going on in the right direction, all of a sudden they turn around. Yes, I understand we're human, we're gonna fall, but it's not to fall back and get back up, it's to keep falling. And what they're doing is going back to the worldly ways, the ways the world once pulls them. Because we're being pulled. We're gonna follow Jesus, we're gonna follow the world. It's our mindset. This is discouraging when people go their own way, when they fall away from the truth of the Scriptures. However, we're called to be faithful. We're called to teach His Word. We're called to do the things that He has designed us to do. If you're called to teach, you teach. You be obedient. You be faithful to your calling. We can't change hearts. Only God can do that. Only God can, not us. We always get asked that question. I've been asked this question a number of times. The what ifs. When it was talking about salvation. What if this young person gave their life to Jesus in youth group? Grew up serving the Lord. Grew up in church after that. Even went to the church in their 20s. served the Lord. Then all of a sudden, something happened to where they fell back into the ways of the world, where they got addicted to substances they shouldn't have been addicted to. And during that course of their life, it never changed. It kept getting worse and worse. And they pass on. Did they go to heaven? We saw growth in this person. And then they fell away. What happened? I don't know. I don't know. The Bible talks a lot about backsliding. I believe that you cannot lose your salvation. I believe that sometimes God takes us out of this world before we could do more damage to the gospel. But it's not my job to judge their heart. But it's discouraging when they do that. Whatever happens to them is between them and God. If that conversion was true or if it was a false conversion, I don't know. Not for me to know. It's for me to keep being faithful. For me to keep doing the things that God wants me to do. Investing time in people. Doing what I can. Now, Paul invested a lot of time in the people of Galatia. And they started to follow a false doctrine. Now in verse 17, Paul is using a vague pronoun, which most scholars believe he is referring to the Judaizers. Now he just abruptly changes. They make much of you. He's getting so emotional, so worked up over this, he didn't even tell who, but the people of Galatia knew exactly who Paul was talking about. He knew who came in. It says, they make much of you. And again, I like the NASB's translation. It says, they eagerly seek you. They eagerly seek you. Now, this phrase in the Greek is more along the lines of the Judaizers sought the Galatian believers in a way that a man courts a woman. He's going to do all he can to get this woman's attention. Say the right things, do the right things. And that's what these Judaizers were doing to the people in Galatia. They were coming in there with words, and they were good arguments or whatever. But that's what this idea carries. They talked to the people with a notion that they cared very much for. With a notion. However, Paul tells them that the false teachers never did care for them. They wanted to use them for their own personal gain. There was no genuine love. Now let me explain this. Even the cults today, they come over to your door, they'll knock on your door, and they'll try to convince you with a weak argument while their view of Jesus is correct. And they appear to have a good family relationship within their building. However, let me tell you, they're not doing it for you. They're doing it for their salvation. There's no genuine love. They're trying to get something out of it, is what they're trying to do. A lot of false teachings do that. They make conversions just to try to gain their salvation. Well, if I convert three people today, well, it's three gold stars by my name. I need four of them to get into heaven, so I got to keep working on it. It's not because they loved you. There's no genuine love. See, Christians are called to share the gospel. If I share the gospel with somebody, does that save me more? No, it doesn't save me more. I do it because it's obedient. I do things because God has put the burden on my heart to do things. Christians are called to share the gospel because that's what's in their heart. They're not doing it to earn their salvation. They're doing it because they're called. We do things for different reasons. We do it out of obedience. And the false teachers around them wanting to shut the believers out of the area. They wanted to shut out God's grace to the believers. They focused on themselves, to make them appear better than all the others around. They don't want the people to focus on God, but put focus back on oneself, thus working for grace and salvation. And I like Paul's next statement. It is always good to be made much of for a good purpose. Paul eagerly sought them when he went to the region of Galatia to preach the gospel. Paul did this out of love. He did it for good and not for selfishness. He was more concerned about their salvation than he was his own safety. He says, I'm going to go in here. I'm going to preach the gospel. What happens, happens. I'm called to be obedient to God. If Paul was doing this for his, if he was working for his salvation, I imagine he would have gotten just a few months into his journey and then just called it quits because of the beatings that he took. It was out of obedience. Paul loved those people and was concerned about them. Following that, Paul had a deep, heartfelt desire to see the people. He now compares his desire to see them like a mother. He is pleading just like a parent pleads for the wayward child. The Galatians weighed heavy on Paul's heart, but they were acting in such a manner of a child who would not be born. But Paul would not give up on the people. He would do all he could to see the Christian, to see Christ develop in them. His desire for them is to mature in Jesus and leave the false teachers. He desires to go through them and see them so maybe he could change his tone with them. But he could not at the current time. He could not go there. He was doing other things at this time. He had other jobs he was doing. This weighs heavy on the heart of Paul. He wanted to see them. He wanted to go to them and say, what's going on, people? But he couldn't. He was off doing other things. He would love to split himself in half so he can go in two different places. We get busy. We get busy doing things to where we can't be everywhere at once. And Paul's feeling like, well, I wish I can go back, but I still got to go forward. I got to do this, this, and this because God's led me over here. He hasn't led me back here. Maybe I can see them. And he tells that in his letters. He says, maybe I can see you. In some of his letters. I hope to see you. He can't sometimes. Doing ministry would be awesome if we could do it all at once. We can't. We've got so many people to visit. We've got so much time to study. We've got so much time to witness. We've got so many places we can go at once. A lot of work. A lot of work. And how are we doing it? How are we doing this for the Lord? Are we doing it because we want to earn salvation? Are we doing it because, well, you know, I better because if I don't, something could happen? Where's our heart at? Why are we doing it? If we're not doing it to please God, don't do it. If you're helping people and expecting something in return, don't do it. If you're giving, hoping to get something in return, don't give. Where's your heart? See, the believer's desire should be to share the love of Jesus with the people around them. It should be to further the kingdom of God and look out for the best of a person's welfare. There should be no other motives. One cannot gain salvation. We should eagerly seek the lost and show them Christ. We should have a genuine care for all the people and their eternal state. We should do all we can to encourage their growth. We can't change hearts. We can just give the message. There's going to be times when one cannot do anything due to certain circumstances. We can't always meet people's needs. We can't always meet them fully. But it's what we do with what we have. If somebody needs something, and you only have a part of what they need, and you give it, Watch God do the rest. Watch God do the rest. If you're being faithful, God's going to work wonders. We might not see it, but we're called to be faithful. We can't always go see people. We can't always meet their needs. We're called to be faithful to the things that God has given us. We are to make the most of every opportunity that God has given us. When we do that, God will fill in the rest. I remember this one time at a church I was at. There were some people working in the kitchen. And it got pretty heated in there. And somebody went back, "What's going on, guys?" One person did not want the other person in the kitchen helping because that one person is trying to work for their reward. They said, "I want you out of here because I want my reward. I don't want you to have part of it." Where's our hearts? Where's our hearts at? Are we focused on getting things? Or are we focused on living for Christ? Now, Paul reflects on a time when the people followed Christ and were not influenced by the Judaizers. He presented the gospel, and the people took hold of it for a short time. And they turned from the gospel to false teachings. This broke the heart of the pastor, and he longed to see them and longed to see Christ grow in their lives. Now, this is a glimpse of a pastor's heart. God allows us to hurt when the people who walk away from the faith and who are persuaded to follow false teachings. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we just so thankful for what you do. That you are the one that opens doors, that you are the one that provides opportunities. You are the one that changes hearts. You are the one that changes lives. And Lord, you use us to do that. And Lord, right now that is my prayer. Use us. Use us to reach the lost. You have jobs for us. You use us in the way you designed us. We're all called to evangelize. We're all called to witness. We're all called to share your love. I pray that you open that doorway for us out into this community to where we can serve you so we can show people a genuine love, a selfless love, how we can show this community your Son, Jesus Christ. We're all called to witness. We're all called to tell others about you. And Lord, I pray that you soften up our hearts, open our minds, open our eyes, and see where we can be used for your kingdom, for your glory. And Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll leave you with Hebrews 13, 8 and 9. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods which have not been benefited those who devoted to them. You are dismissed.